Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. For our sermon lesson, we're going to use the gospel lesson from about 3 weeks ago, the one that you know so very well, the story about Jesus and the deaf man. I'm not going to read it all to you again because I'm going to hope that you have memorized that thing over the years. I'm going to only read one specific verse near the beginning. And some people brought a man to Jesus who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they asked him to place his hand on that man. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, our beloved Lord and Savior, it is truly a wonderful day that the Lord has given to us. In it we should rejoice, even though we are in the midst of midterm exams. We should still rejoice in God's love. I am surprised that people let the world influence that decision. When it's a cloudy day like Monday, they all complain. And when it's a time for examinations, we forget that it is still God's wonderful day and our blessing. The members of the Council of Lutheran Ministries rejoice that we have had this opportunity to be here with you and to discuss with you some of the wonderful ministries that are happening in our organizations and agencies, and to share a little bit with you of the joy that is happening in ministry in other places. The lesson here is often used when we want to talk about a miracle. And often we are left, after it is finished, wondering, so what? Why did I hear this lesson? Why did I hear that Jesus helped this man? Surely the lesson is telling us that God in His love helps people and we should rejoice in that. But I think that also the lesson is saying to us some of the reasons behind that. I've never understood why the people who are so involved in evangelism have not laid on to this text to use it, because that first verse is a fantastic evangelistic verse. It says, some people brought a man to Jesus. Therein lies a lot of truth. The process of evangelism is a process done by more than one person. In fact, it is never done by one person, although our words many times reveal our weakness in that area. I don't know what to say to the person. I don't know if I can explain clearly my faith in Jesus Christ. Notice all of those I's that you hear in that thing, and that's probably the place that failure in evangelism begins and ends, right there. It is some people who brought a man to Jesus. That's family, friends, neighbors, co-workers. A variety of different people are involved in that process, as again and again God the Holy Spirit working through Christians witnesses to an individual and tries again and again to say, come see Jesus. Some people brought a man to Jesus. That's the goal of my ministry. I hope that is the planned goal of your ministry, that everything I do and everything I say is aimed at that one thing of bringing people to see my friend, my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ. Some people brought a man to Jesus. The man was deaf and couldn't hardly talk. The lesson is broadening a little bit our practice in evangelism. Most of us who do evangelism do it with the quote normal people. People who hear like us, people who are intelligent like us, people who even walk like us. Try getting a wheelchair into here. It's not going to be easy. Evangelism for most of us is to people like us. And yet, the lesson which we heard there a moment ago said, who needs Jesus? For all have sinned, not just those that can hear. For all have sinned, not only those that can see. For all have sinned, not only those that walk. For all have sinned, not only those who are sharp like you and I, but also those who are of limited intelligence like our friends in the mentally retarded areas. All have sinned. All need Jesus. It's not an option of the church. It's not something I can say, well, I don't have enough time for that. I have so many things on my list. I just can't do them all. This is not an option. All have sinned. All need Jesus, even the handicapped. Yes, also the handicapped. Yesterday, Dr. Zimmer talked about practicing what you pray. I'd like to encourage you a little bit to not only do that, but also to practice the consequences of your prayers. For generations, people have been praying, why must the deaf go all the way up to Detroit, be separated their families for 9 months, stay there and not see their families? Why can't they stay home? God answered the prayer. They can stay home. Why must the mentally retarded go all the way to Cedar Lake Lodge or Bethesda? Why can't they stay at home? They can stay at home now. God has answered our prayers. But friends, there is a consequence to your prayer. Who's going to spend a half hour a day with the deaf in your town explaining to them about Jesus as we have done for the past 113 years at my place? Who's going to teach your mentally retarded people to know Jesus as their friend and Savior as they stay in those group homes? Friend, some people brought a man to Jesus. And the some people should be, but often is not, us. When you bring a man to Jesus, marvelous things happen, right? They brought this man to Jesus, and in a moment the man heard, in a moment the man could speak clearly, and surprise to me of all surprises, the man had something to say. The thing that we work on is teaching them something. Hour after hour after hour, we've got to work on that, because they cannot hear and cannot get experiences like you do, and they have nothing to say, literally. This man did. A miracle happened. Miracles still happen. About 2 years ago, a little girl, literally that tall, came into my office after school. She came over to put her head on my desk and smiled. Now, I knew what the girl wanted. I have some candy down there in a desk drawer. That's what she wanted. But I'm a meanie. I smile back. She smiled again. I thought, gee, this is a lot of fun. Let's try it. So I smiled again. That was my mistake, by the way, because what happens next is the little girl is fed up with smiling, and she looks around, and she finds over there on my desk a small crucifix with the body of Jesus hanging on it. It was made in Europe, and it is possible to pull the nails out of the hand and take that off of the cross and put it down. She discovers this, and I have a heart attack. You take out the nails, you drop them down into the rug. Guess what I never have again? But the little girl's playing with it. At the same time this had been happening, we had had a goal that we were going to try and teach that five-year-old class one sentence for Lent, 6 weeks. The sentence is, Jesus died for me. Sounds like a nice sentence, right? You'll buy it? Jesus died for me. Now comes the challenge. Show me one acceptable picture of Jesus Christ, one only. Can't do it, can you? We got a variety of pictures. And teaching a person who's going to learn only through their eyes who Jesus is a really big challenge. Try next teaching a 5-year-old about death. How many of you have worked on that one recently? Teaching a 5-year-old about death. We don't do that. A 5-year-old learns that grandma is sleeping with Jesus. It's a nice sentence, but it doesn't include the word death, right? Try teaching that sentence sometimes, Jesus died for me. That's what had been happening to that little girl. The little girl's playing with a cross, and she's taking a nail in and out. And she looks to me, and she asks a question. Jesus? Learning has occurred, right? She's never seen the cross before. We're winning a little bit. She's playing with it. One more fact you need to know. The little girl was in an accident. A bad accident. She had spent time in a hospital, very close to the moment when God was going to call her home. And God decided to leave her with us. And the little girl now is playing with a nail. And she's going to ask a question. And the question is, hurts? You got to believe it, folks. Stick a nail in my hand, and it's going to hurt. Stick a nail in my Lord's hand, and it's going to hurt a lot. And who stuck in that nail? It was we. For our sins, he died. Hurts, right? The next thing, though, surprised even me. The young lady play-acted, hurts more than my accident. How about that for theology, folks? What happened to Jesus hurt more than anything that's ever going to happen to you and I. Anything is going to be easier than being abandoned by God between heaven and earth, right? The little girl had understood so well that the next time she smiled, she didn't want candy. She danced out of the room saying, clearly, Jesus died for me. Someone brought a man to Jesus, and it still works, friends. What are you going to do about the consequences of our prayers when you enter the ministry? We are here to say to you clearly that Jesus died for all, yes, even the deaf and the blind, and go on through that whole list. We are here to say that we thank God that He has blessed our organizations and permitted us to share Jesus Christ with them. But we are also here to say, in the coming years, those people are going to be in your congregations, and they're going to need your help. And when that day comes, please remember us. Please use us as resources in the process. After a little while will be the convocation hour. We will have a series of workshops. Please come. Please learn with us how to share Jesus Christ. And if, please, that's the only hour you have to eat, bring your food with you. Come and let us together learn ways that we can continue to bring people by His grace to His Son, our Savior. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which is above all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.